إيه هي علوم الدين؟ by Imam Ghazali. Volume 3, Chapter 3, Greed for Food and Sexual Passion. Greed for food is a destructive evil. Owing to this greed, Adam and Eve were expelled from paradise. They were prohibited to eat the fruits of a certain tree, but they ate them prompted by a strong greed, and as such, evil deeds were disclosed to them. In fact, belly is the container of greed and breeding ground for diseases and disasters. In case of satisfaction of the belly, sexual passion rises high and it encourages companionship with women. Desire for name and fame grows from greed. Then comes the evil attribute of hatred, clash of interest, pride, self-conceit. These can be removed by hunger. The merits of hunger. The Prophet said, fight your passion with hunger and thirst. Its merits are equal to those gained by jihad in the way of God. Nothing is dearer to God than hunger and thirst. The Prophet said, no angel from the heavens come to one who eats belly full. The Prophet was once asked, who is the best? He replied, one who eats little, laughs little, remains satisfied with clothes necessary to cover his private parts. He said, put on old cloth, fill up half of your belly with food and drink as is its proportion of prophethood. The Prophet said, fikr, that is meditation about God's creation, is half of divine service, but little food is full divine service. He said, hunger is the chief of all actions and Sufi dress curbs passion. He said, he who amongst you bears hunger for a long time and ponders about God, he will be the best in rank amongst you on the day of judgment. He who sleeps long, eats much, and drinks much will be the greatest object of wrath of God. The Prophet used to remain hungry without want. In other words, he kept himself hungry willingly. The Prophet said, God glorifies before his angels about the one who eats little, drinks little in the world, and says, O angel, look to my servant. I am trying him in this world by food and drink. He has given them up with patience. O angels, bear witness, I will raise him up to paradise in proportion to the less number of morsel he eats. The Prophet said, don't make your heart dead by taking excess of food and drinks, as the heart is the field of crops. Then when there is excess water in the field, the crops are damaged. He said, the son of Adam does not fill up anything more obnoxious than excessive food to keep his backbone erect in that is sufficient for him. If he is unable to do it, then one third of his belly is for food, one third for drink, and one third for breathing. The signs of an abdal, that is, a worshipper of God. The Prophet said, those who keep patience in hunger, thirst, and calamities for long will stay on the day of judgment near God Almighty. They are God-fearing men without shoes. They can not be recognized on sight. If they remain absent, they are not searched. The underdeveloped paces know them, and the angels of the heaven keep them encircled. They are the best of the people in the world and the best in divine service. The people spread out their soft beds, but they use their heads and knees as beds. The people destroy the character and conduct of the Prophet, but they preserve them. The world in which they roam weeps for them if they are lost. If none of them lives in a country, God is displeased with the country. They are not greedy for the world, just as a dog is greedy over a corpse. They live by eating leaves and vegetables, put on thorn rags, and are disheveled in hair and laden with dust. The people think that they are diseased, but in fact they are not. Some people think that they have lost intellect, but it is not so. Their attention is towards the actions of God, who removed the attachment of the world from them. They wander amongst the worldly men as men without interest, but there is endless honor for them in the next world. O Osama, when you see them anywhere, know that for the inhabitants of the place they are safeguards, and God will not punish the people until they live amongst them. The world is happy for them, and Almighty is pleased with them. Take them as brothers of yourself. Perchance you may get salvation on that account. If you can die when your belly remains hungry and you are thirsty, it will be better, because you will have an honorable place on that account, and the angels will be happy at the advent of your soul. God will also shower his blessings on you. The prophet said, put on Sufi dress and fill up half of your belly. You will then enter paradise. Jesus Christ said, O my disciples, keep your belly hungry, keep your body without cloth. God will then appear in your heart. It is written in the Torah, God is displeased with a stout, strong, learned man, as it is a sign of carelessness in overeating. The prophet said, the devil runs through a man like the circulation of blood. Make it narrow by hunger and thirst. He also said, if anybody eats to his heart's content, he is attacked with leprosy. He also said, a believer eats filling up one gut, but a hypocrite eats filling up seven guts. In other words, a hypocrite eats seven times more than a believer, or the passion and greed of a hypocrite are seven times greater than that of a believer. Here, gut means greed. He also said, knock at the door of paradise, it will be open for you. When questioned about knocking, he said, by hunger and thirst. Once, Abu Juhafa was belching in an assembly of the Prophet, who said to him, lessen your belching. He who eats at his heart's content in this world will suffer much owing to hunger on the day of judgment. Aisha reported, the Prophet never ate to his heart's content. Never ate to his heart's content. Sometimes I wept seeing the pangs of his hunger. Then I passed my hand over his belly and said, my life be sacrificed for you. What is the fault in eating so much so to keep your strength and ease your hunger? He said, O Aisha, my predecessor prophets suffered more than this, and they kept patience. They adopted this condition and went to their Lord. Their honor is unlimited and their rewards are profuse. So I fear if greed for pleasure of living, my condition may be less than that of theirs tomorrow. So it is better for me to bear patience today in troubles, that my fortunes may be less tomorrow. Nothing is dearer to me than to live together with my brethren and companions with dignity. Aisha said, after this talk, the Prophet did not live longer than 7 days. Anas reported, once Hazrat Fatima came with a piece of bread to the Prophet, who said to her, what is this piece of bread? The Prophet said, today this food will enter the belly of your father after 3 days. Anas ibn Malik reported that the members of the family of the Prophet did not eat bread or wheat consecutively for 3 days till the Prophet expired. The Prophet said, those who remain hungry in this world will eat to their heart's content in the next world. He who eats to his full belly is an object of greed, for it will be the rank in paradise. Wise sayings. Umar ibn al-Khattab said, have a sharp look to your belly, as it becomes heavy in life and destroyed after death. These age, Shaqiq Balaqi, that is the sage, said, divine service is a profession, its shop is solitude and its weapon is hunger. The wise Luqman advised his son, O dear son, when you eat, your belly is full, good then falls asleep. Wisdom becomes inactive and the organs take leisure. Hazrat Fazil bin Iyaz addressed himself thus, what thing do you fear? Why do you fear hunger? The Prophet and his companions used to remain hungry. Why do you neglect it? Sage Khamash used to say, O my Lord, you keep me without food and cloth and allow me to sit loose to you in darkness without light. Tell, my Lord, on account of which virtue I have achieved this luck. The sage Majak bin Dinar said, O my Lord, I asked Muhammad bin Wasiq, O Abu Abdullah, he who has got food proportionate to his wants and does not live depending on others is happy. He said to me, O Abu Yahya, he is happy who is pleased with God, remaining hungry in the morning and the evening. Sage Yahya bin Maaz said, hunger of the hopeful is a cause of wakefulness. Hunger of the patient is a control of the passion, and hunger of the ascetics is wisdom. There is in the Torah, fear God when you eat at your belly is full, and remember hunger. Sage Abu Suleiman Dharani said, I like to eat one morsel less than to be attentive in prayer during the whole night up to morning. He also said, hunger is one of the treasures of God. He gives it to whom he loves. Sage Sahal Tastari used to not take meals consecutively for 25 days at a time. One dirham was enough for his meal throughout the entire year. He used to consider the rank of hunger with honor and made exaggeration. When even he said, the reward which is gained by giving up selfless food in following the practice of the Prophet will not be gained by other actions on the Day of Judgment. He also said, there is nothing more profitable than hunger. He also said, I don't know of a more harmful thing for a man seeking the next world than eating his heart's content. He also said, knowledge lies in hunger. Sin and ignorance lie in overeating. It is said, no man deserves better divine service than to act in opposition to his passions after giving up lawful things. The Prophet said, one third of the belly is for food. He who eats more than that spoils his good deeds. Being asked about the additional merits, he said, he will not get additional merits till hunger becomes dearer to him than overeating, until he prays a night remaining hungry. When he does this, he will be entitled to get additional rewards. He also said, an abdal is not included in the class of abdals till he does not love to remain hungry without sleep and to remain silent. He said, of all the virtuous deeds which descended from the heaven and the earth, the greatest is hunger. Of all the evils which have descended from the heaven to the earth, the worst is eating to heart's content. He said, the machinations of the devil go away from one who remains hungry. He said, God advances to a man who is in hunger, diseases and danger and calamity. God releases some men from these things at his sweet will. He said, know that a man of the present age will not get salvation till he destroys his passion and sleeps by hunger and does hard labor. He said, there is no such man in the world who can save himself from sin by drinking to heart's content, even though he expresses gratefulness to God. Even though he expresses gratefulness to God, there is no such man in the world who can save himself from sin. If it is so, in case of water drinking, how will it be the case of eating with full satisfaction? This is the case with water drinking. How would be the case with eating with full satisfaction? Some wise man was asked, how can I change my passion? He said, change your passion with hunger, thirst, taking up humility, by giving up name and fame, making them lower by placing them under the feet of those who seek the next world, opposing constantly your passions. Sage Abdul Wahid said, the merciful loves a hungry man. A man can walk upon water by the virtue of hunger, and God gives him power for this. Sage Abu Bakr Mujni said, God loves three men. Number one, one who sleeps little. Number two, one who eats little. And number three, one who takes little rest. Jesus Christ once kept fast consecutively for 2 months and began to converse secretly with God. When he remembered to take his meal, the secret conversation stopped and he found his meal placed before him. He began to weep when his secret conversation was suddenly closed. It is said that Moses gained the power of secretly talking to God after benefits of hunger and harms of overeating. The Holy Prophet said, fight your passion with hunger and thirst. You may ask wherefrom this good of hunger comes and what is the cause, though it gives you trouble to the belly. This statement is like a sword of a man who thinks after getting the benefits of a bitter and tasteful medicine that a bitter medicine will give him benefit. Benefit arises not from the bitterness of the medicine. The physician knows the effect of such a medicine. Similarly, the sages and saints, amongst the learned, understand the benefits of hunger. He who believes the truth of remaining hungry gets the benefit. God says, God will raise those in ranks who believe amongst you and those who have been given knowledge. The following 10 benefits are obtained from hunger. Number 1. Hunger makes the heart pure, conduct fresh, sight sharp. On the other hand, overeating makes you lazy, your heart is blind, and incurs heat in the brain, like intoxication, even it attacks the men of thought. As a result, the power of thoughts goes away. When a boy eats too much, his power of memory becomes dull and he becomes a fool. The sage Abu Suleiman Darabi said, "Remain hungry, as it curtails passion, makes the heart soft, and it gives divine knowledge therein." The Prophet said, "Make the heart alive by little food, little laugh, and make it pure by hunger. It will become then pure and clean." He said, "Hunger is like a lightning, overeating is like a cloud, and wisdom is like a shower of the rain." The Prophet said, "Who eats to his heart contents and sleeps much, his heart becomes dead." He then said, "There is zakat of everything, and the zakat of body is hunger." The Prophet said, "The thinking power of a man increases who keeps his belly hungry and his heart becomes sharp and strong." The sage Shilbi said, "I saw on the very day I remained hungry for the pleasure of God that the door of my heart had been opened towards wisdom and knowledge in such a way that I did not see before. It is not a secret thing that the ultimate objective of divine knowledge and divine worship is to acquire such thinking power which takes to divine knowledge and true knowledge of everything. Eating with satisfaction is an obstacle to that objective, and hunger opens its door. Divine knowledge is a door to paradise, so it should be unlocked by hunger. For this reason, Luqman advised his son, "O darling, when you fill up your belly with food, thinking power falls asleep, wisdom becomes idle, and the bodily organs abstain from divine service." Hazrat Abu Zaid Bastami said, "Hunger is like a cloud. When a man feels hungry, heart then showers rain of wisdom." He said, "Hunger is the light of wisdom, and eating with satisfaction keeps God at a distance. Love for the poor and nearing them brings God near. Don't eat with your heart's content. It will extinguish the light of wisdom from your heart and wander about. A man who passes night with little food up to the morning." Number 2, hunger makes the heart soft and pure, and therewith the sweet taste of zikr and munazat is felt. How many a man of zikr makes zikr by the tongue without attention of the mind, so that the heart does not find taste therein, as its effects do not fall on the soul. Its taste is found in hunger. Sage Abu Suleiman Darani said, "When my back becomes attached to my belly, I get the taste in divine service." The saint Junaid said, "The hope of one who wants taste in Munazat by placing the dish of food between him and his heart will not meet with success." He also said, "When the belly becomes hungry and thirsty, the heart becomes soft and clean. When it becomes satisfied with food, it becomes blind and hard. When the heart finds taste in munazat or invocation, it becomes easy to think about God, and divine knowledge increases." Number 3, another benefit of hunger is the breaking of the heart, which produces modesty. Pride and enjoyments are removed by hunger. A man does not understand the power and glory of God till he does not absolutely feel helpless and sees darkness all around, being unable to gather food and drink, until he realizes power and might of God and becomes modest and submissive to God. When all the treasures of the world were presented to the Prophet, he rejected them all and said, "Rather, I prefer to remain hungry one day and take food the next day. On the day I remain hungry, I shall be humble with patience, and on the day I take food, I shall be grateful." In short, the belly and sexual passion are the doors of hell, and their root is eating with satisfaction. Humility and break of heart are the doors of paradise, and their root is hunger. He who closes up the door of hell opens the door of paradise, as these doors are facing the east and the west. If one comes near a door, he becomes distant from the other door. Number 4. Another benefit of hunger is not to be forgetful of God's punishment. In case of satisfied eating, one forgets the pangs of hunger. Once Yusuf a.s. was asked, "Why do you suffer from hunger, though there are treasures of the kingdom in your hand?" He replied, "In case of eating with satisfaction, I fear I may forget the sufferings of the hungry and the poor people. Number 5, another benefit of hunger is that the propensity of committing sin is brought under control. Hunger arrests the greed for committing sins and controls the propensities of evil. The root of all sin is greed and physical strength, and the root of these things is satisfied eating. So little quantity of food weakens these things. To acquire power to control passion is the root of all fortunes, and to submit to passion is the root of all misfortunes. The turbulent animals can be brought under control by keeping them hungry. Similarly, the unruly passions can be brought under control by hunger. A certain sage was asked, "You have grown old, why don't you take care of your body? Your body is getting black." He said, "The body runs for enjoyments and wishes for evils. I fear it may throw me into a deep ditch. I like more to give it trouble than for it to throw me into sins." Saint Junnum Misri said, "Whenever I ate to my heart's content, thought of sin arose in my mind." Aisha said, "After the demise of the Prophet, the first innovation that came into being is eating with satisfaction. Hunger is not only useful to suppress passion, but it can be called the touchstone of all useful things. For this reason, a certain man said, "Of all the treasures of God, hunger is a valuable jewel. The lowest danger that can be averted by hunger is sexual passion, evil passion, and the passion of talk. A hungry man does not wish to talk much. He is rescued from backbiting, indecent talks, and falsehood. In case of satisfied eating, a man cannot control his sexual organ. If he can control it for the fear of God, he cannot control his eyes and his mind, and he does not get pleasure in invocation." A certain wise man said, "If a sojourner towards the next world keeps patience by observing the rules of the religion and eats for 1 year half belly full with bread only without any curry, God removes from him evil thoughts of enjoying women." Number 6. Another benefit of hunger is sleeplessness. He who eats to his heart's content and drinks much, he who drinks much sleeps much. As many as 70 truthful and pious men said unanimously, excessive drinking creates sleep. Excessive sleep will spoil your life. Life is the most valuable thing of a man, and so it is ruined by excessive sleep. Number 7. Another benefit of hunger is that divine worship becomes easy. In case of excessive eating, one becomes lazy and idle, and so divine worship becomes difficult. Sage Sari Sakti said, "I saw the saint Abu Zarzani taking drink of wheat dipped in water and asked him, 'Why don't you take this trouble? I can recite Tasbih 70 times during the time taken by chewing the bread of wheat, and for that I did not take the bread for over the last 40 years. He thought that change of food is loss of time. So every breath of life is a valuable asset which should be utilized by collecting wealth of the next world. It is easy for one who has got the habit for bearing hunger." The saint Abu Suleiman Darani mentioned 6 harms of eating with satisfaction. Number 1. Such a man does not get the pleasure in zikr. Number 2. He can't remember the matters of knowledge and wisdom. Number 3. He loses the attributes of showing kindness to the people. Number 4. He feels difficulty in doing divine service. Number 5. Sexual passion and greed become strong in his mind. Number 6. When the worshippers are engaged in the mosque, he is confined in his house. Number 8. Another benefit of hunger is preservation of the health and removal of diseases. A little quantity of food improves health and removes diseases. Excess eating accumulates diseases in the stomach and in the veins. The diseased man cannot do divine service, zikr, and pondering. Hunger removes all these difficulties. Khalif Harun Rashid is reported to have called eminent physicians of his time of India, Byzantium, Iraq, and Abyssinia, and said to them, "Give me such a medicine as you can prevent all the diseases." The Indian physician said, "If you ask black ahlis, you will not be attacked with any disease." The Iraqi physician said, It is the medicine of the white seeds of Helenka, the physician from Byzantine Empire said. It is the medicine of Ahlis, was most experienced, said. The medicine of Ahlis makes the stomach narrow and creates a disease. The seeds of white Helenka make the stomach soft and create a disease. They asked, what medicine have you got then? He said, what will not create any disease in my sight is this. Don't eat unless you feel hungry, and lift up your hand when there remains a little hunger. They all said, you have prescribed the right medicine. A philosopher was asked of some physicians of the people of the book about the following saying of the prophet. One third of the belly is food, one third is for drink, and one third is for taking breath. He wondered about it and said, I have never heard of a more wise saying in the matter of little food than this, and this must be the saying of a wise man. The prophet said, gluttony is the root cause, and restraint from food and drink is the root of the cure. Teach the habit to which each organ is entitled. The physician was astounded on hearing this saying of the prophet. The sage Ibn Salim said, no disease can attack a man except death, who eats according to the rules of bread of pure wheat. He was asked, what are its roots? He said, to eat it after being hungry and to rise up before satisfaction. A certain experienced physician said, with condemnation of excessive eating, the most beneficial of all foods which are allowed to enter the stomach is pomegranate, and the worst is salt. Yet salt in small quantity is better than pomegranate, and the worst is salt. Yet salt in small quantity is better than pomegranate in large quantity. The prophet said, fast and you will be healthy, and the body will be cured of the diseases on account of the sting and hunger and little eating, and the heart will be free from the diseases of infidelity, self-conceit, and other diseases. Number 9. Another benefit of hunger is little expense. If you practice little eating, a little expense for you will be sufficient. The belly of a man becomes heavy who eats to his heart's content. He thinks every day for earning foods and says, today what shall I eat? He roams throughout the day in earning food, and then falls into unlawful earnings and commits sins, or he earns lawful things but faces dishonor. Little experience comes to my mind. Little expense comes to my mind. The sage Ibrahim bin Adham, being asked about the high prices of food, said, give up these foods and make them cheap. The Saint Sahal Tastari said, a glutton is condemned, lazy in divine service. If he is a trader, he is not safe from dangers. If anything comes to him, he does not do justice to himself. If a man in a world, attachment of this world is a cause of destruction of a man, and the cause of this attachment is the belly and sexual passion, and the cause of sexual passion is satisfaction eating. Little eating removes all these evils. The prophet said, knock the doors of paradise by hunger. He who is satisfied daily with one piece of bread becomes free from his want. He does not depend on the people and gets free from sorrows and sufferings and can engage himself fully in divine service and trade of the next world. He then becomes one of those whom God said, there are men whom business and buy and sell cannot divert them from the remembrance of God. Number 10. Another benefit of hunger is to be ended up with the attribute of charity and of giving up self-praise. One who keeps himself hungry and thirsty removes the hunger and thirst of another with his own meal and gives charity, his excess food, to the orphans and the poor. On the day of judgment, he will take shelter under the shadow of his charity. He who eats is saved and privy, and what he gives in charity is hoarded in his treasure. This is the gift of God. A man has got no wealth except what he stores up in his treasures by charity, what finishes after he eats, and what gets old after he puts it on. So eat little to spend in charity. Excess food is better than to eat with satisfaction. Hazrat Hasan al-Basri, recited the verse 3372. I offered the trust to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, but they refused to undertake it, being afraid thereof, but man undertook it. Then he said, God asked the angels to carry this burden. He asked them, will you bear the responsibility of his trust? God said, if you make it beautiful, you will get the rewards. If you make it ugly, you will be punished. They said, we shall not accept it. Then it was presented to man, who accepted it, as they are prone to make oppression on the soul and ignorant to Lord's orders. By God, they are now selling that trust in exchange of money. Thereafter, they are making their beautiful houses, but their graves become narrow. They are making their bodies stout and strong, but they are making their religion weak and thin. Once the prophet saw a man with a bulging belly. He hinted at it and said, if you had spent it on other affairs, it would have been better for you. There are 10 benefits of hunger. Innumerable benefits come out of each benefit that I have mentioned. So there is no end to the benefits of hunger. It is the most valuable asset for the next world. For this reason, a certain sage said, hunger is the key of the next world and a door to asceticism. Eating with satisfaction is the key of this world and a door to greed. A sojourner in the path of religion. Those who wish to walk in the path of religion should observe the following rules to control the greed for food and drink. His first duty is that he shall not eat except lawful food. If a man worships after eating unlawful food and lives in a house built in the sea, in the waves of the sea, besides this, there remains 3 duties to be observed in connection with food. The quantity of the food, the time of the food, and the kind of the food. Quantity of the meal. Little food is good. A man should lessen his meal gradually and not at a time. There are 4 stages of meal according to the degree of piety. The first and the highest is the stage of the Siddiq. He eats what is absolutely necessary to keep him up that day. Saint Sahal Tasari said, a man can worship by 3 things. Life, intellect, and strength. When a man fears loss of life and intellect, he should eat, and if he then fasts, then he should break it. It is a unanimous opinion of the learned men that it is better to pray sitting, owing to the weakness of hunger, than to pray standing up after eating with satisfaction. When he was asked about his quantity of food, he replied, my meal for the whole year costs me only 3 dirhams. One day I purchased wheat for 1 dirham, fine rice for 1 dirham, and butter with 1 dirham. After mixing them, I make 360 small pieces. Every evening I break fast with 1 piece only. The second stage of the meal consists of half mud, which is the general practice. Half mud is equivalent to 10 grams of food or 10 morsels. This fills up nearly 1/3 of the belly. The prophet said, a few morsels are sufficient for a man. He recommended this quantity of food to be eaten. Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab used to eat not more than 7 to 9 morsels. The third stage of meal consists of 1 mud or 500 grams a day. It may fill up 2/3 of the belly. 500 grams a day, which may fill up 2/3 of the belly. The fourth stage consists of a meal of little more than 1 mud per day. If a man eats in excess of this, he commits the sin of extravagance, by which God says, eat and drink, but do not squander. 7:31. The fifth stage of the meal is a general rule, and a majority partake of this quantity of food. They take much more than half a seer. They are often cheated by false hunger. The signs of true hunger. Number 1. The first sign of hunger is the will to eat only rice and bread, even though there is no curry. If there is no will to take rice or bread without curry, this is not real hunger. The second sign of real hunger is that such a man licks the plate or the dish of the meal. It means that he does not allow even the greasy or oily things in the dish to remain. Quantity of food companions and the saints used to take. It is true that the meal of a companion out of a party per week did not exceed that of 2.5 seers. When he ate dates or grapes, it rose up to 1 sa'a. According to this calculation, the quantity of their daily meal was about 0.5 mud or 5/16 seer, which filled up 1/3 of the belly of each of them. 0.5 mud, as mentioned above, is 250 grams in a day. The companion Abu Zar, during the time of the Prophet, said, "My food every week was barely 1 sa'a. Now you are eating fine bread. You are enjoying 2 curries in place of 1 at the time of the Prophet. You have now got 1 at the time of the Prophet. You have now gotten dresses for the day and another dress for the night. The day meal for the inhabitants of Suffa was 1 mud or 5/8 seer for 2 people. The time of meal. There are 4 stages regarding the time of meal. The people of the highest stage take meal once every 3 days or more. Some of them take no food even for 40 days at a stretch. A party of saints reach that limit, and their names are following: Muhammad bin Omar, Abdurrahman bin Ibrahim, Ibrahim Taisi, and others. Abu Bakr used to take a meal once every 6 days. Abdullah bin Jabir once every 7 days, and Abdullah Zawja once every 7 days, Sufyan Sa'uri and Ibrahim bin Adham once every 3 days. Some learned men said, some secrets of the unseen world are disclosed to a man who can remain without food for consecutively 40 days. One of these sages, while passing by a Christian monk, invited him to accept Islam and to give up self-conceit. There were much arguments between them over this matter. The monk said to him at last, "Jesus Christ fasted 40 consecutive days. This itself is a miracle. Had he not been a prophet, he would have not been able to do so." The sage said to him, "If I can fast for consecutively 50 days, will you accept Islam?" The monk said, "I shall accept Islam in that case." Thereafter, the sage fasted for consecutive 50 days at a stretch. The sage said, "I can fast for 10 days more." He then continued his fast for 10 days more. The Christian monk was astonished at this and said, "I do not think that any man can surpass Jesus Christ in this matter." He then eventually accepted Islam. Number 2, the second stage. This is the stage some pious men fast for 2 or 3 days consecutively. This can be done by habit. The third stage is a stage of taking meal once a day. This is the lowest stage of a sojourner in the path of the next world. If anybody takes a meal more than once in a day of 24 hours, it will be considered extravagance and eating with satisfaction. Such a person has got no hunger. It is far from following the ways of the Prophet. The companion Abu Sa'id said, "If the Prophet took a meal in the morning, he did not take it at night. If he took a meal at night, he did not take it in the morning." The Prophet once said to Aisha, "O Aisha, be aware, don't squander. In case of 2 meals a day, there is squander. 1 meal in every 2 days is the lowest rank of the Sufis, and 1 meal per day is the middle of the 2 stages. If anybody wishes to take 1 meal a day, he should take it after Tahajjud and before morning prayers. In that case, the rewards of fasting by day and hunger by night are obtained." Abu Huraira said, "The Prophet never prayed Tahajjud like you. He stood so long in Tahajjud that his feet got swollen. He used to not take a meal after Iftar as you do. He used to take a meal for fasting at the time of the morning only." Aisha said that the Prophet used to remain hungry up to the time of Sahur. The meal should be divided into 2. If it is said that 2 pieces of bread are sufficient, then 1 bread at the time of Iftar and another at the time of Suhoor should be taken. If the meal is taken at the time of Sehri, that is Suhoor, hunger during the day does not become acute and Tahajjud prayer is prayed with a peaceful mind. Number 3, the kind of food. The seed of wheat are the best of foods. Meat and sweet things are best, and salt and condiments are the worst. The middle kind of food is curries cooked with oil. The sage Ihya bin Ma'az said, "O religious men, appertaining to the class of the truthful. Keep your passions now hungry for the feast of the paradise of Jannatul Firdaus. For this reason, there are abundant rewards in giving up greed for even lawful things and the possibility of harms as they are enjoyed in full. The Prophet said, those who eat fine flour are the worst. It is not lawful. It is not unlawful. But the meaning of this hadith is that one who is habituated to eating fine flour, he may fall to the attachment of this world, which will lead him to sin. The Prophet said, among my followers, there are the worst whose goal is food of various kind and fine dresses, and those who spend most of their time in useless talks. God revealed to Musa alayhi salam, O Moses, consider yourself as an inmate of the grave. My remembrance will restrain you from greed and evil desires. The earlier sages feared for those who enjoyed delicious food and remained busy in satisfaction of their natural propensities. Umar ibn al-Khattab restrained himself from drinking cold water mixed with honey. He said, save me from the responsibility of this account. It has been narrated that when Omar fell ill and he wanted to enjoy fresh fish, that is the son of Omar ibn Omar, after search, a fish worth 1.5 dirhams was brought to him. The fish was fried and was presented to him with bread. At that time, a beggar came there. He ordered his servant to give him the fish and the bread. The servant gave him 1.5 dirham and did not give him the fish and the bread. He ordered his servant to give the beggar the fish and the bread in addition to the money and said, I have heard the Prophet say, God forgives the sin of one who denies himself a thing for which he has got greed to enjoy. The Prophet said, if you do not appease the hunger for a dog by giving it a piece of bread and a pot of pure water, calamity will come to you, to the world and its inmates. Once news reached Umar ibn al-Khattab that Yazid, the son of Abu Sufyan, remained busy in enjoyments of various delicious foods. He said to his servant, when the meal of the night is served before Yazid, inform me at once. The servant informed Umar accordingly, and Umar went to him and sat by his side. Umar began to eat with him. At first, soup of meat was presented and then baked meat. Then Yazid began to take it. Umar said to him, O Yazid, one food after another, by one in whose hand there is my life. If you give up the practices of the sages of the previous refugees, you will drift away from their path. Yasir bin Umar said, I never prepared for Umar thin bread made of fine flour. It has been said that Saint Utbah Ghulam used to eat flour pasted with water after it was baked in the sun and said, one piece of bread and salt are sufficient, and in that case, fried meat and delicious foods can be eaten in the next world. His maidservant once said to him, if you give me flour, I can prepare for you bread after it is baked in fire, and I can give you cold water to drink. He said to her, O mother of so and so, I have driven out from me the dog of hunger. Saqiq bin Ibrahim said, I met in Makkah Ibrahim bin Adham, who was weeping. On being asked the reason, he said, for the last 30 years, I have been desirous of eating harira, that is a sweet thing, but I have restrained myself with great difficulty. Last night when I fell asleep, I found a young man with a green pot in which there was harira. He said to me, O Ibrahim, eat it. I said, I shall not eat it. I have given it up for the sake of God. He said, God has given you to eat it. Then I began to weep and eat it. Sage Malik bin Dinar lived at Basra for 50 years. He did not enjoy during this long period fresh and dried grapes. Hazrat Musa said, who was a sage, I had the desire for the last 20 years to eat bread of fine wheat, but I did not enjoy it. Saint Abu Sulaiman said, salt is a thing of luxury. Ali ibn Abu Talib said, if a man eats meat consecutively for 40 days, his temper becomes harsh. A wise man said, eating of meat consecutively becomes like the drinking of wine. Duties after meals. Number 1. When a man wishes to cohabit with his wife, he should do it before he takes his meal. Number two, it is better not to sleep after eating and drinking with satisfaction. Two harms arise in the case of sleep after meal, the habit of idleness and the heart becoming hard. Number three, it is better after a meal to hold conversation, to pray, to make zikr, as these are nearing expressing gratefulness. The Prophet said, digest your food by prayer and zikr and don't fall asleep soon after a meal. If you do it, your heart will become hard. The lowest duty after meal is to pray four rakats or to recite 100 tasbih or a portion of the Quran. When Sufyan Sa'uri ate with satisfaction at night, he used to pray throughout the entire night. When he ate with satisfaction at the daytime, he used to pray and make zikr. He said, give full food to the belly of a slave and exact from him hard work. He used to often say, exact from him hard work after giving full food. Whenever you desire to eat some food or good fruits, you should take it in lieu of a meal so that you may gain strength. A wise man said, don't eat being greedy for it. If you eat it, don't search for it. If you search for it, don't love it. To search for various kinds of food is greed. Don't allow your greed to follow all lawful things. Whatever food a man gets out of greed, he will be said thereof. You have enjoyed your good things in the world's life. You can fulfill your desire in the next world in proportion to your giving up of greed and desire in this world. A wise man of Basra said, my desire disputed with me about eating bread and fish, but I restrained myself from eating them. This continued for the last 20 years. When he died, a man of Basra said, I saw him in a dream and was asked, what rewards has God given you? He said, I can't describe fully what rewards my God has given me. He entertained me first with fish and bread, and I have been allowed to enjoy it every day without any account. God said, eat and drink in exchange of what you have lost in those bygone days. Sage Abu Sulaiman said, to give up a desire is more benefiting than fasting and praying for 1 year. The means of gaining moderation in eating. Know, dear readers, that the objective of good conduct is to gain the middle path, which is good in all actions, and both the extremes are extremely bad. What has been described above about the merits of hunger shows that no extreme is good. A secret of Sharia is whatever is taken as a result of greed and low passion is the extreme which there is harm. The Sharia prohibited it firmly. Nature encourages eating with heart's content, and the Sharia does not allow it. When these two things stand face to face, the middle course should be adopted. When the Prophet came to learn that some of the companions prayed throughout the night and fasted throughout the day, he did not allow it. So it is good to eat with moderation, and it does not cause heaviness of the belly, and it prevents hunger. The objective of food is to save life and to gain strength for divine service. A heavy belly will obstruct you from divine service, and acute hunger will also prevent divine service. So it is better to eat food in such a proportion as prevents hunger and also the heaviness of the belly. A man should acquire the qualities of an angel, and when these are queried, he becomes like an angel. An angel is free from the heaviness of the belly and pangs of hunger. The objective of man should be to acquire that exact position. The middle path is the best between hunger and overeating. The Prophet said, the middle path of every action is the best. God also says, eat and drink and do not squander. When the nature runs towards greed and low desires, it should be punished by hunger till it gives up passion and desire. The objective of hunger is to curb all passion till they come to moderation and under control. A sojourner of the next world should therefore have no necessity of remaining hungry all along, as the lashes of hunger is not necessary for a siddiq or a greatly truthful man. The Prophet's way of eating. The Prophet had no fixed measure of food and a fixed time. Aisha said the Prophet used to fast in such a way that people thought that he won't eat and drink, and he used to fast in such a way that people thought that he won't break it. He often used to go to his wives and say, have you got any food? If they said yes, he took a meal. Whatever any food was served before him, he used to say, "I have fasted," and then broke his fast and ate it. One day the prophet came out and said, "I have kept a fast." Aisha said to him, "Hais has been presented to us." The prophet said, "I've wished to fast, but now take it to me." Sahil Tasari was once asked, "What have done in the beginning of your religious life?" He informed him about his divine service. He used to take little food. Sometimes he used to take olive fruits. He ate food for 3 years worth 3 dirhams only. Being asked about the time of his meal, he said, "I eat without fixing any time or quantity of food." Sage Ma'ruf Qarqi used to eat whatever food, ordinary or delicious, was presented to him. He was asked, "Your brother Bashar Hafi does not eat such delicious food." He replied, "My brother is in the chain of God fear, and I opened the door of Ma'rifat. I am amongst the guests of my Lord. I eat whatever he gives me. I have got no power to take or to reject anything." Umar saw his son Abdullah bin Umar enjoying butter, meat and bread together. He whipped him and said, "Eat meat and bread one day and butter the next day, and bread and curry another day and salt another day, and bread completely bare another day. This is the middle path for you. Constant use of meal and oily things causes extravagance. To give up meal for all times grows the evil of miserliness. The middle course lies between these two extremes." Number 6. Sexual passion. There are two benefits of sexual passion. Number 1. Satisfaction of intercourse. And number 2. Preservation of mankind. The pleasure that is felt in sexual passion between a man and his wife is a little sign of his next worldly pleasure. If it were lasting, pleasure would have been strong, as physical pain inflicted by the force is great. The fear of hellfire and the greed for pleasure and happiness of paradise leads a man towards guidance. If a man would not have the taste of pleasure, it would have not been possible. Number 2. The second benefit is preservation of mankind. But there is in this danger that if it is not kept under control and exceeds limit, his next world and this world are completely destroyed. God taught us to say in this verse, "O our Lord, don't inflict on us such duty as is outside our power. This power has been said to be sexual desire." God taught us to invoke, "I seek refuge from the evils of the night when it spreads darkness." This evil is explained by Ibn Abbas as the erection of the male organ. The wise man said, "When the sexual organ of any man stands erect, 2/3 of his intellect goes away." The prophet used to pray, "I seek refuge from God from the evils of my ears, eyes, heart, enjoyment, and semen." The prophet said, "A woman is the string of the devil." Once the devil appeared before Musa and warned him of 3 things. Number 1, don't remain along with a woman in any place, because I become the companion of a man and a woman who remain lonely in a place, till I throw into the male the snate of the female and the female into the share of the male. Number 2, fulfill your promise to God. Number 3, spend your wealth you bring out of zakat and other charities, as I become the owner of that wealth which a man keeps separate from charities for the people but does not spend. There are 3 stages of sexual passion: excessive, little and middle. In the case of excessive sexual passion, a man loses his sense of right and wrong and enjoys any woman and destroys his religion and the world. Such a man often takes recourse to medicine to increase his sexual passion. This is also more dangerous. Such a man takes recourse to lovemaking, of which the objective is satisfaction of sexual passion. The medicine for this is to control the eyes and the thoughts. The Prophet prescribed marriage for them and said, "O young men, take recourse to marriage. He who is unable to do it, let him fast, and as fast is like castration for him." Fornication of the eyes. The sin of fornication of the eyes is the greatest amongst all the minor sins. He who cannot control his eyes cannot control his organ. Jesus Christ said, take control of your eyes as it sows the seeds of sexual passion in heat, and that is sufficient for the creation of danger. Prophet Yahya, that is John, was asked, what is the source of fornication? He said, eyesight and greed. The prophet said, eyesight is a poisonous arrow out of the arrows of the devil. God gives it to a man who gives it up for the fear of God, and such faith gives satisfaction to his heart. He also said, there will remain no greater danger for the people after my death than women. He also said, fear the world and women. The cause of first danger which came upon the children of Israel was women. God says, tell the believers to control their eyesight. The prophet said, everyone has got a share in fornication. His two eyes commit fornication by sight. His two hands commit fornication by touch. His two feet commit fornication by walk. His mouth commits fornication by kissing. His heart commits fornication by thought. His sexual organ commits fornication by translating it into action. Umm Sulama said, when Ibn Makhthun, a blind man, sought permission to the Prophet to see him, I and Maimuna were present there. The Prophet said, screen yourself. We said, he is blind. He will not see us. He said, if he doesn't see you, you will see him. Some love the hurdles, boys, out of sexual passion, which is very dangerous. A pious man said, there are three kinds of people. One kind of people cohabit with boys. One kind cast look out of passion. And one kind do indecent deeds. So these are the dangers of eyesight. The dangers of rich wife. There are five dangers of a rich wife. Number one, her dowry is increased. Number two, she makes delay in mixing with her husband. Number three, her service is rarely found. Number four, her expense is very high. Number five, she cannot be devout for the fear of losing her property. This is not the case in case of a poor lady is married. A wise man said, a husband should take four things more than those of his wife in default. His wife will look down upon him. Age, stature being longer, that is taller. Riches and pedigree. A female should have four things more than her husband. Number one, beauty. Number two, character and conduct. Number three, piety and the fear of God. Number four, behavior. Anything which creates forgetfulness of God is harmful. If a man can remember God more in an unmarried state, it is good for him. Once every rich man wanted to marry Saint Rabia Basri. She declined all the offers, saying, if God gives me wealth like you people, and more than that, it is not better for me than to be forgetful of God even for a single moment. There are medicines of controlling sexual passion. These are hunger, restraint of the eyes, and engagement in some work or the other. If no benefit accrues from these three methods, it is better to marry. For this reason, the earlier sages hastened to marry and got their daughters married without any delay. Section 8 and the last one. Rewards of opposing passion. Know, O dear readers, that sexual passion is stronger in the human mind than any other passion and curbs the intellect at the time of excitement. At that time, one runs after some affairs which are shameful. Few people can control it. Most people refrain from it owing to inability, fear, shame, and illness. There is no merit in it. If one has got the ability to commit fornication, and if there is no obstruction, he will acquire the merit provided he commits no sin. This is the rank of the truthful. The Prophet said, he who refrains from committing a sin, even though he is enamored of love of anybody, and dies in that condition, keeping it a secret, he is a martyr. He also said, God will give shade to seven people under his throne on the day of judgment, one of which on the day where there will be no shade except for the shade of his throne, one of them is he who refrains from satisfying the sexual desire of a beautiful woman coming from a respectable man when she calls him and he says, "I fear the Lord of the universe." In this connection, the story of Yusuf and Zulekha is a brilliant example. He restrained from satisfying the sexual desires of Zulekha, the wife of the king of Egypt. Suleiman bin Yasir was a beautiful man. Once a beautiful woman proposed to him to have sexual connection, but he refrained and fled from his horse, leaving her therein. Suleiman said, "In that night, I saw Yusuf in my dream and asked him, 'Are you Yusuf?' He said, 'Yes, I am Yusuf, who had sexual desire, but you have no desire.'" There is a more wonderful story. Once Suleiman started on a pilgrimage from Medina with a companion. He alighted to a place called Abwa. His companion went to the market for purchasing food, leaving Suleiman in the tent. One Arab woman came therein to the tent, and she was exquisitely beautiful and young. The woman said to him, "I have not come to beg. I want only sexual enjoyment with a male." He said, "The devil has brought you to me." Then he placed his head between his knees, and he began to cry bitterly. Seeing this condition, she put on her burqa, that is the hijab, and left the place. He then went to Makkah and made pilgrimage. One night he saw in his dream Yusuf alayhi salam and said, "Your glory regarding the wife of the king of Egypt is wonderful." Yusuf said, "Your glory regarding the young woman of Abwa is even more wonderful." The Prophet said, "There are three kinds of persons who went on a journey. They took shelter at night to a cave of hillock. Suddenly a huge stone fell over the youth of the cave and shut it up completely. Then they found darkness all around and there was no hope of getting out, so they recalled their good deeds to seek the mercy of God. One of them said, 'O merciful God, you know that I had a cousin sister who loved me dearly, and I also loved her dearly. During the time of famine, I gave her 120 dirhams on the condition that she would agree to what I say. One day I found her alone and sought to enjoy her, but she refused, saying, "Fear God, don't break my seal without God's order." Then I refrained from it. O God, if you know best that I have refrained from your fear, shift the stone a little." The stone was shifted a little. So eyesight is the precursor of fornication. It controls. The control it is absolutely necessary. The root of all dangers is eyesight. The Prophet said, "Your first sight is for you, but the second sight is against you." Allah bin Ziyad said, "Don't turn your look repeatedly over the sheet of a female, as sight sows the seeds of sexual passion in the mind." Once a meat seller fell in love with a female slave of his neighbor. Her master one day sent her to another village for some work. Getting this information, the meat seller followed her and caught her on the way. She said to him, "Don't do this. I love you more than you love me. Fear God." Then he became repentant and went on his way. When he was thirsty, he found no water. Finding a man, he said, "Let us both pray to God for rain." The meat seller said, "I will pray and you will call Ameen. Be it so." So they began to pray to God for water, and soon a cloud appeared over their heads. When they became separate, the cloud followed the meat seller. On seeing this favor of God on him, the companion came there and asked him for the reason. The meat seller narrated him the story of his love for the female slave and how he controlled his passion. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.